So, hello and welcome to the Gentleman Radio.
Radio.
All right, we have the disembodied voice of Jeff here. This is our day three E3 recap. So I'm Patrick.
I'm Charles.
All right, so day three was, we're trying to get in everything that we missed, in the previous days. So finally see if we get Dead Rising 3 to work out. See if we get in. We had appointments with Activision and Sega. And then we're going to try and get some hands-on time with the Xbox One and PS4. So how did Dead Rising 3 turn out for us?
Well, Dead Rising 3 was pretty good. I mean, there's a few things that they haven't talked about, the story, co-op mode, or even a release date proper. It's supposed to be a launch title, but that's still up in the air.
Yeah, according to Amazon, there's a day one edition of that, so I assume it's going to be a launch title. So.
Yeah, but the first thing we saw today too, was the Batman Arkham Origins.
Oh, yeah.
And that was pretty cool. I thought it definitely looks like they've done the series justice and kind of continuing on with the same formula. It was speculated early on they'd do something on, like, Christmas Eve when the city would be kind of empty, and it's definitely set over Christmas Eve. But, you know, they seem to have a pretty interesting selection of villains for this one.
One of my favorite things is that Anarchy is going to show up in this one. I'm really excited about that. He was always one of my favorite Batman villains when I was in high school and stuff like that. It looks like he has a kind of a new look compared to, like, say, the classic look or whatever. But that's, you know, kind of par for the course for the Arkham series.
Well, it's good to update it because he's kind of like a way to introduce V from V for Vendetta into the DC universe. So. Yeah, change it up a little bit, make him a little different from.
Yeah,
when
he looks a lot less like that now, so that's good. But also, you know, we got Joker, we have Bane, we've got Penguin, we have Black Mask, obviously, we have Deadshot, Deathstroke, and that's just a small sampling of the villains. Because the premise, of course, is that Black Mask issues this kind of takes a hit out on Batman, so all these different killers from all over come out trying to take him out, so they can win $50,000 or something.
Yeah, like $50 million.
Oh, $50 million. Yeah. Okay, yeah, that makes more sense. But I was a little concerned going into it that it was going to be, too different since it was a different team and stuff like that. But
right.
But honestly, it looks like they've really done a good job with it from what we saw.
Yeah, it looks like it's in pretty good hands. You know, and kind of the rumor circulating around is that this got passed off to WB Montreal, so that it would free up Rocksteady to work on another Arkham title.
Yeah.
You know, if that's the case, I don't know, we'll see, but I don't know.
And to be fair to this team, they did work on the Armored Edition of Arkham City for the Wii U, so they've got some like experience with the tool set and stuff like that. What did you think about the voices? Because there's different voices now for Joker and for Batman.
Well, the guy doing the Joker does a pretty good Mark Hamill Joker impression, which I was a little afraid they were going to do something like that. I understand why they did it, but I think it was kind of the wrong route to go.
Yeah.
The Batman sounded pretty much like a young Kevin Conroy, but also had a little bit of a Bale thrown into there, where some more aggressive and kind of guttural. So
yeah,
you know, not bad.
Yeah, it sounded pretty good to me. Like, as far as Troy Baker is concerned with the Joker, I actually had to check with you to see if it was Mark Hamill, but it was like, because it sounded a lot like him, but then when he laughs, you know, you could kind of tell the break.
Yeah, the laugh gives it away. It's very tough for anyone to replicate that Mark Hamill Joker laugh, so.
Yeah. But it looks pretty pretty cool. They've expanded out the sort of investigative part of it, so it's like now a case file system and stuff like that. And there's like a
hook up to the back computer.
Yeah, there's more to investigate. It looks like that's a more robust system now.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Combat looks more or less unchanged, although it looks like maybe there's some more moves and that sort of thing thrown in. But I think the remote claw was one of the things that was they kind of featured that looked really awesome, where it was like you could, you know, basically like remotely shoot two lines out between guys, and I could do all sorts of different damage. That was really cool. I'm really looking forward to that. I'm actually, that's a must pre-order now. So
cool.
So after that, we went to Activision, and to our surprise, our first thing at Activision was a closed doors demo of Skylanders. Swap Force. Had you ever heard of Skylanders before this?
I had no idea. I'd seen the figures, but I didn't know that it was for a video game or anything like that.
Yeah, so. I knew a little bit about it based on other E3s or whatever, but I mean, I had zero interest in it whatsoever. Of course, Chris Patton from Fabling Games was really keen on trying to find a hot dog action figure.
It was definitely a main focus for him.
Yeah, that was mission critical for him. So we got to get those for free, which was nice. great chairs. Mm-hmm. Great chairs in the Skylander thing. But what really surprised me about it is I'm actually interested in playing the game now. Part of it had to do with, I think conceptually it's kind of cool. You know, you take action figures and put them on a portal and it puts your action figures into the game.
Oh.
Swap Force allows you to switch attributes with different, like, if you take the tops off of action figures, put them on different bottoms, and it creates new characters with new abilities. But I think the guy running that presentation was what really made it awesome for me. He was hilarious.
Just very passionate about the product and very knowledgeable and just very much into presenting it in a fun and engaging way. And, you know, talking to us, knowing that we're adults, not children, and kind of explaining to what are other exciting things for children, but also adults, too, for something like that. So.
Yeah. So it was really cool to see. After that, we sort of weaseled our way into a private screening of Call of Duty Ghosts. And this was cool because we got an extra level that they showed us that they weren't showing out in the theater, out on the show floor. So if you weren't able to get an appointment for this or talk your way into it once you had an appointment for Skylanders, you did not get to see the In the Deep level, which is, a really kind of a unique level for, I think, the Call of Duty series, where you don't often get to go snow, like scuba diving and stuff. And
yeah.
Fight off sharks and deal with all that. I thought that was really impressive.
Yeah, it looks very interesting what they're doing. I don't know that I'm fully sold on another Call of Duty game. Just really not seeing any kind of multiplayer demonstration. Yeah. And that's really the driving engine on those games. And, you know, a lot of it's very much like zombie mode and, arcade style run and gun type of shooting. So we'll see.
I will say it looked really, really good, though. Like,
it looked amazing.
Like, graphically. Like, yeah. It was really impressive graphically.
Plus, I mean, the problem is the story mode in those is so short, so...
Yeah, I mean, I always enjoy the story mode, but 5 hours for a story mode is not enough for, a $60 purchase. So I will say that Riley the dog is... I wrote in my notes, he's a good dog.
Yeah.
So,
he's like Robo Dog.
So after that, we made our way over to... I played some DuckTales, which I'm really excited about. DuckTales Remastered. Ridiculously excited about that. Of all the titles coming out, that's one I'm really looking forward to. It's going to release this summer. I got some new levels, as well as remixed levels, like classic levels from the 89 game, I think it is?
Yeah.
Is it 89?
Right.
And they brought back the full original voice cast from the cartoon, so that's really fantastic.
Which makes me really think they should work on the cartoon again anyway while they're at it.
Yeah, because, it's like... That cartoon was a great cartoon, and that game was a great game, so I'm excited to see more of that.
Yeah.
But after that, we went over to, Microsoft, and got our hands on with some Rise. So what was your takeaway from that?
Rise was pretty cool. We got to play the demo that you saw on the Microsoft presentation. Sorry, we're going to talk a little bit louder since I got a little bit louder in the bar here. Same kind of what we were playing, what you saw, so that was very cool to actually be able to experience that. I think that's definitely going to be an interesting title, very cool. Like the aspect of being a general but also a soldier in the field, so you can kind of switch back and forth between commanding your troops and fighting in combat. So it seems pretty good, seems pretty solid graphically, not bad. I'm a little bit concerned about the QuickTime stuff we talked about before.
Yeah.
It was still there and it was present, but it wasn't as annoying as I suspected it would be.
My concern with that was that I was afraid that it was going to be just that's all the combat was, but it's not so much. So, you can conceivably just button mash your way through it if you want to, but it's like not going to be as, stylized and cool looking. But I thought, the thing that I thought was kind of neat about it was that... The deeper into the demo I got, the better I was getting at it. Like, I was having to use, real timing and skill to kind of get everything going. Like, you can't just do one attack and expect that to work, because apparently the AI is adaptive and it'll actually counter your stuff and learn what you do and then fight you better, which is kind of fantastic. So,
yeah.
So after that, we headed over to the PS4 area and checked out some stuff over there.
And it was a little disappointing. I think the only... found out later the only title they had was something beginning with a K. Kayak, not kayak, but something like that.
Quark?
Yeah, Quark maybe. Yeah. Was the only original or
exclusive
title. Yeah, that they had. That we just, it was kind of like there were a couple different options, so just pick what looked appealing.
What I think
well,
was weird,
kind of went at the shortest line too.
Yeah, and I think it was weird that those were the games that Sony chose to show, like give you hands-on time on the game floor. Because I mean, it's like, okay, you know, the sort of pinball game that was reproducing the Star Trek Next Generation pinball game. It was impressive for where it was, but is that the best foot you put forward to show for hands-on? I don't really think so. I played Darklight for a while, and it's like, the mechanics of it were pretty decent. It handled well enough, and some of the sort of close-up detail as far as like the hands and the weapon you're holding was pretty good, but if you look out over the city, it's just all like fog, you know? It's like there's... And I mean, you know, sure, it might be an early demo, but there again, you want to put your most impressive stuff out there.
Yeah.
You don't want to put stuff where it looks muddled and shitty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I played Warframe, which is pretty much like a Mass Effect 3 multiplayer clone. Not a bad thing. It played and functioned pretty well. Definitely has some improvements over that, but again, it's a title that's, you know, PC and Xbox, you know, via Steam kind of thing. So, not enticing enough to say, like, yeah, this is definitely a good exclusive game for PlayStation.
Right. Yeah. All their exclusives they had in, like, theater experiences. So we sat in on Killzone Shadowfall, and... You know, I had zero interest in Killzone before seeing that. I have marginally more interest in it now, but still, I mean, it was a lot of what we saw earlier in the show from, you know, implemented in better ways in other games. So like a lot of zipline stuff and shit like that. And it's like, okay, it looks okay, you know, but it doesn't look like something to pin your system launch on.
Yeah.
What was super impressive though is we saw the Dark Sorcerer, and it was kind of a. It's kind of a tech demo, really, from Quantic Dream, who did like Heavy Rain, and they just worked on Beyond Two Souls, and holy shit, that's all. It was 100% in-engine graphics, and that was fucking amazing.
That was very impressive. That was a good call.
I was totally blown away by that, and particularly when they zoomed in to show like how much detail they put in this. They zoomed in and showed that the character they had, the human character they had. You can see the veins in his eyeballs and shit. That's a lot of fucking detail.
Yeah.
Showing the wireframes and stuff, like with just how intricate even the wireframes are, that's kind of amazing. And it's super impressive that they can get that kind of juice out of it. And the guy said, you know, this is the worst anything's going to ever look on the PS4. So
yeah. No, not that at all.
So that's really cool. I mean, if they can implement like that, you know, with some games that we want to play, that would be fantastic.
Yeah. No, so. Cool. So that was kind of our day 3 wrap up. So we'll. We'll add this to the article we have and enjoy.
All right.
Radio.
Yay, done.
With the dulcet sounds of country in the background.
Kind of okay with that.
Little score.
Let me go get another drink quick and then we can... With this one. Do you want to talk about
it? I think it's better because, you know, they're fighting a guy who's all dead, whereas the Beatles are only half dead.
Yeah,
so
true.
There's,
yeah.
You know, pretty much no chance you're going to get sued.
Yeah. Except this estate's probably a bunch of assholes.
Probably. So what's up, Troy?
I'm going to go get another drink quick.
How much are those?
$3.
If I give you $3, would I...
No, it's $4 if he gets it for you.
So, mostly this is an excuse to show off my new wallet.
Oh, yeah. Wait, I thought when you opened it and hit that, it was like...
Oh, yeah, no, that would be pretty fucking cool, though.
I thought that's exactly what that was.
I know, I was like, wow, dude, I'm really impressed.
I'm like,
now.
Wow, that's a dirty wallet.
Right, I'm more impressed now. You actually gave me four.
Yeah, no, well, one is for a tip.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Thank you, sir. Do you want to talk about Last of Us for a few minutes on the podcast?
Yeah, I haven't played a huge amount of it, but yeah, we can talk about it. I should probably turn this ringer off.
The only problem with some of this stuff is if you're going to get into a long rant about the Xbox things, then, you know, you're probably too heavy.
I don't think we're getting into it too deep. Plus, I mean, honestly,
I don't know what Josh would have to input on that.
Yeah, I don't know either.
So it might be something... I
mean, I kind of want to talk about it now just because it's topical, because they just announced that shit, you know what I mean, about the, you know, locking all their innovation back, so. I mean, I applaud them for listening to what the consumer has to say, but sometimes they have to understand. sometimes the consumers are reactionary douchebags, so I just can't believe that shit, but whatever. I mean, Microsoft did a fucking shitty job of telling people. I don't agree with that at all, but
they
totally did.
Perception is everything, and if you look on the internet, it's like 99% people were saying.
None of those people were there. Yeah. It's like the people who were at E3 who report on what they find, all the fucking media, like because the entire gaming media was there, that was overwhelmingly positive towards Xbox and not Sony at all. Like, the tone of it was very much geared towards Xbox. Because once people started getting their hands on the shit, it started to, like, they were going, well, actually, okay, this is not what we thought, you know? So, I think that's an important factor. Like, a bunch of people on Twitter did not get to decide the zeitgeist at that point. Nor should they, since they hadn't actually had any hands-on time with it. Thank you, sir.
I like that they're pirate glasses.
So they're what?
I like their pirate glasses.
Yeah, me too. Pretty cool.
Okay. So we're all good. Yeah, you know what? I need to look at my Man of Steel notes quick.
This is a gentleman radio.
You should totally sing the song that way.
Talk about me for the TV show.
Like a gentleman radio.
Talk about gaming, but not Halo. This is a gentleman.
This is the story of the gentleman radio.
I have a ton of movies listed now for when we do, if we do more, you haven't seen that.
Really, like what?
Well, not a ton, it's only like 8, but still it's a lot more than 3.
Yeah, sure.
And I'm going to start picking only good movies that I want to see.
That's kind of what I've been doing this whole time.
I think you have to at least throw one bad thing on there.
Because you picked that bad thing, though.
What's
that? You said you end up picking that bad thing. Okay, so? Network, I've been wanting to watch it for a long time and never actually have.
Uh-huh.
Cool Hand Luke, Pan's Labyrinth, Truman Show.
Well, you've never seen
Superman.
Never seen Pan's Labyrinth?
I've probably seen Superman, but it's been so long, I don't remember it. The only one I really have any memory of is Part 4, and the one with what's his name?
Richard Pryor.
Part 3.
So you saw the really shitty ones.
Yeah.
Nice.
Wow. Naked Lunch and American Graffiti.
Oh, wow. You know, honestly, I just saw Pan's Labyrinth for the first time like 5 months ago, maybe. It was at the Loft.
Yeah, I remember when you saw it.
So.
Alright, you guys ready for this?
Yep.